Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of The Bell Ringers. We're not back for season two yet, but we couldn't let this earnings season pass without having an episode, so here we are. The format changes just a bit. We're going to have 2 minutes to talk about every stock that we want to talk about from last week and this week. With me here today, as always, my good friend and fellow analyst, Jesse Cohen.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
So tell us, what stocks are we going to be talking about today?
Well, obviously, last week we had some mega cap names reporting. We'll go over results from Amazon, Microsoft, Tesla, Boeing, and McDonald's.
What a week.
Amazing. And if you thought last week was packed, just wait till you hear the names reporting this week. We're going to talk about earnings from Apple, Facebook, Google Parent Alphabet, AT&T, as well as Starbucks.
That's quite a week. I think those are the two strongest weeks of earnings, really, when you look at, like, the tech
generally
sector.
Yes.
Those are the 2 weeks. All right. We're probably going to have an episode next week as well to talk about all the fallout from this week and looking forward. So stay tuned for that as well. And then we're going to go on another break until the end of November, and we're going to come back to season two from there. So let's get started with today's episode, and we're going to start with Amazon.
Let's kick things off with Amazon. Amazon, which reported Thursday after the close, what on paper
big drop on earnings.
Big drop, exactly. Immediately after, in wake of the release, we saw the big miss on the top and bottom lines. The stock dropped around 8% after hours. However, it
surprise,
only ended the
surprise.
Day down about 1%. So really digging into the report. Obviously, what was concerning was the drop in Amazon Web Service its cloud-based segment. We saw a growth rate of just 35%, which, and I'm saying just because compared to previous quarters, we were looking
at
50%
and
above. So obviously, you know, that was a cause for concern. However, breaking it down, like I said, the stock only ended down about 1% because there was a lot in there which really wasn't as bad as feared. And
they were investing. That's why the results were so bad. And I think that it really the reaction after earnings really speaks to how short-sighted people tend to be.
I don't even know if it's people. It could be just algos
one
reacting to
bad
headlines.
Quarters from Amazon, which is inherently a long-run stock. You don't invest in Amazon for what it is today.
Exactly. Amazon has a long history of investing for the future. And, you know, if it sees obviously strong demand for one-day shipping and it's going all in on the one-day shipping, for them, it doesn't matter if they miss on this quarter or the next quarter, because in the future, you know, the next quarters to come, they're going to enjoy larger market share as a result of this investing, as of these investments. And really, Mr. Market got it right on Amazon because that was the drop after market on Thursday.
Sure.
You know, I even nibbled a bit on the dip and you know, just because the reaction just didn't match
strong. And
the
really,
earnings in themselves.
Amazon is known for running a very lean operation. And that's something that we've known about Amazon for a while. You know, Amazon doesn't put money where money shouldn't be put. And it really makes good decisions with its capital allocation. So if Amazon decides that one-day shipping
it's
is
probably
where it wants
worth
to
it
invest,
for them. Exactly.
You know, they wouldn't scale this operation if it wasn't worth it for them. And I think that's part of the reason why numbers came back, because people do trust Amazon and their ability to really funnel the money to where, you know, that'll bring the most business.
And I think really as the session progressed on Friday, I think more and more people came to that realization and figured, hey, Amazon on a 5% discount ahead of Q4.
Why not?
Why not?
All right. So we'll move on from Amazon to what I consider to be the most solid stock in the stock market today.
We talk about Microsoft.
We're talking about Microsoft.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to talk about a flawless report there. A beat on the top line, a beat on the bottom line. You know,
you
Office.
Have to nitpick the gaming data to be like, oh, there's something negative about Microsoft.
Or even, you know, it's like, oh, Azure, Microsoft Azure, the Microsoft cloud program. Oh, it only grew 59% in the quarter. So, you know,
what are we going to do?
So, again, you know, breaking it down, Office to me, Microsoft Office was the real star of the show.
And something
there.
That we generally don't really pay that much attention
to. We take it for granted for the most part. But we saw Office 365 commercial revenue was up 13%. It has 200 million subscribers. That's up 30% from 155 million in the same quarter a year earlier. So we still see Microsoft grabbing market share. You know, this behemoth, which we think, you know, at this point, really, where is it finding all this growth from?
And it's great because it's diversified, and I think that this is kind of this is where it finds its growth. It's got the cloud computing, it's got the PC, it's got the hardware, it's got the software.
Xbox
and every time
and
that something
Surface
kind of
Pro, yep.
And every time that they reach kind of a limit, they manage to break through in another area of their business to bring more growth. So they're not one. It's not a one-track company. They're really doing a lot of things. And I'm really struggling to find a bearish case for Microsoft right now, are looking.
It's the most expensive or the most valuable company in the world. Obviously, what we saw from them, I mean, those results justified everything.
And
the $10 billion
Pentagon contract
them.
That is just, not earnings related.
Just then over the weekend.
But came
we
out over the weekend.
That.
That's also big. And we talked about Amazon just a second ago. And we kind of know that Trump wanted to screw Amazon over. And he managed to do it with.
Well, we saw, the headlines that came out over the weekend were that Trump ordered then Defense Secretary General Mattis to screw Amazon over out of this Pentagon contract.
It worked.
So obviously, we're going to wake up Monday morning and Microsoft are probably going to gap up, Amazon probably going to gap down. However, with that being said, both these companies are very sound, very solid.
Very strong.
And I'd buy the dip on Amazon and probably buy this strength.
All right.
On Microsoft.
And from maybe one of the most solid companies in the world, we're going to be moving on to one of the most volatile companies in the world. And we're talking about
Tesla. That's
got to
be Tesla. Obviously, the shares, best week in 6 years, ending up 27%. I mean, Tesla just blew. I mean, me personally, Tesla blew me away, both in terms of the unexpected third quarter profit. But for the most part, what was impressive was the cash flow on hand for Tesla. That and the fact that we got bullish headlines on Model Y, production is more efficient than the street expected. Really, a potentially game-changing quarter from Elon Musk, and you know, sentiment on a stock like Tesla as long as sentiment remains bullish.
I'm not buying
and
it. I'm not buying any of it.
Well, you know,
you can
stand on
it.
The sidelines and as an observer say you're not buying any
Listen,
of it.
Tesla,
however,
it's
shorts
all about
shorts got burned last week to the tune
Tesla.
Of $1.4 billion.
I wouldn't short Tesla and
good
just
luck to you
and
if
I
you
wouldn't
are.
Short Tesla just because Elon Musk has a vendetta against the shorts against his company. So just that. But listen to
me. It's a battleground cult stock, really. You
exactly.
don't want to be on the short side of
but
this.
But even if you are bullish for Tesla, I don't think the numbers that we've seen justify a 20% jump. I really don't think they do.
We're up 30%, my friend.
Deliveries were up due to leasing, not sales, right? They sold more cars, but at a lesser price. So they did cut costs. They did cut the price on a car to sell more of it. I mean, yeah, I never understood Tesla. And again, I'm not shorting it because it's acting irrationally, and you don't want to short an irrational stock based on rational grounds.
I mean, the fact
that
is
never works.
That even the most bearish of Tesla analysts were forced to kind of reevaluate their bearish price targets and their bearish theses as a result of the Q3 results. I think shorts are still going to have to go in there and buy back their stock next week. Potentially, this thing can go all the way back up to around $400.
Just as I'm not buying like one bad quarter of Amazon, bad quarter, right? It wasn't that bad of a quarter, but still, I'm not buying one good quarter of Tesla. All right, but let's move on. So Tesla has some problems. Let's talk about a company that really has problems. And this one is Boeing.
Yeah.
So the endless 737 MAX saga is not yet close to ending.
It seems like earnings for Boeing are just going to go from you know, ugly to uglier, from worse to even worse, because what we saw in Q3 was a 50% slide in profit, a 20% drop in revenue, and that was actually not as bad as feared.
Well, if you look at it from a positive side, it managed to be profitable even with everything happening. So obviously the profit cut in half, but last quarter wasn't profitable, and this quarter it was.
And again, that really goes to show the strength of Boeing as a company, not just as this, you know, airplane maker and airplane manufacturer, but it's got such a strong defense segment, and space sales came in above expectations. So I would still be buying. I mean, obviously, so many headlines regarding Boeing
but
right now.
But it's all temporary.
I probably want to stay away.
It's all temporary.
However, there's so much strength in this company, in the business.
If you're in it for the next 10 to 15 to 20 years, I don't think there's any doubt. If you want to make a quick buck, you know, trying to make a dollar on the Boeing rebound, I'm not sure that's going to be working out for you, because it might be a while before Boeing actually corrects and starts to move upwards again. But if you're in it for the long term, I wrote an article on investing.com a couple of months ago. I said it's time to start dollar cost averaging into Boeing. I stand by that. And yeah, that's definitely what I advise to do.
This isn't the first time we've spoken about Boeing here on the Bell Ringers podcast. And every time we both come to the same conclusion that even with all these headwinds right now, the stock is still a buy, just because it's in a sector where it's just
there's two players.
There's just two names in the space. So
and the
really,
world's gonna
Boeing
want
has to be a buy. Exactly, exactly. It's not like people are just gonna stop flying and all the business is gonna go to Airbus.
Yeah,
I mean, Boeing is still gonna be a huge player.
Sometimes the investment thesis doesn't have to be very complicated. It's one of the players in a duopoly.
Just buy the dip.
And you know, as long as I said, the U.S. government stands with it, and the U.S. government is not going to abandon the strategic advantage that Boeing gives it, then Boeing will be okay. All right, and to something completely different, from defense and planes to hamburgers, it's McDonald's.
Yeah. Also reporting earnings last week, missed estimates on profit for the first time in 2 years, which was kind of worrying. Really what we saw was that McDonald's was having trouble luring in customers, because the competition really has kind of caught up to it. So to me personally, what I saw in McDonald's was that it just got outcompeted by names like Wendy's and Burger King in Q3. Burger King obviously went in all in on the plant-based meat substitute with the Impossible Burger.
You know what someone told me in the office like just now?
Let's hear it.
I tasted the Impossible Whopper. And it works just because the regular Whopper is bad anyway.
Well, what does that say about the Big Mac, though? It's like the Big Mac is some beacon of.
Listen, I love me a Big Mac. Don't you talk smack about Big Macs.
Hey, man, people in, you know, most of the folks I've spoken with lately really are more bullish on names like Wendy's because of their push into breakfast, names like Burger King and Dunkin' because of their push into plant-based meats. And really, we saw, obviously, McDonald's not quite, you know, entering the space yet with the plant-based.
And the funny
breakfast
thing
has always been a big thing for them,
right,
but the competition is catching up.
But the funny thing is that McDonald's is just a solid name, and it really outpaced most of the market for a long time, like a long period of time, and it wasn't necessarily justified. So I think that the price action that we're seeing now in McDonald's, and is the market realizing that it kind of got ahead of itself. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the current earnings. Microsoft's been trending down for a while now, and you know, $220 was not a price for a stock, and the multiple was not correct for a stock that grows 1% its revenue. And it still grows, so that's nice, but you can't put that big of a price on it. I like McDonald's going forward. I'd like it to see maybe dipping a bit more before I commit more.
To McDonald's defense, it remains one of the best names in the
it's a brand.
In the restaurant
strongest
space.
Brand in the world,
exactly.
Maybe.
Plus, you know, what we've seen from them lately is investing in tech initiatives in order to, you know,
improve
catch
efficiency.
Up with the
man.
Times, a move into deliveries. And so overall, I like what McDonald's is doing. However, I expect the stock to pull back a bit more. That's what I want to see before.
I don't think anything changes until Q4. Unless some big news comes out, I think McDonald's kind of trends sideways, a bit downward until Q4.
Perhaps the big news will be a potential partnership with Beyond Meat, for example, and really a push into the plant-based burger space. That would be the next move for McDonald's, in my opinion.
All right, but that was last week. And as eventful as last week was, as you said, we may have, you know, this week might, you know, one up it.
It is the busiest week of the earnings season.
Right. Who do you want to start with?
I mean, in my opinion, we should start off with the biggest name in the market. It's got to be Apple.
All right. Let's start with Apple.
Apple reports Wednesday after the bell. I mean, the stock has been surging. I mean, it's up 56% this year. It hit all-time highs on every single day last week.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, Apple is easy. Over the years, over the past 4 years where I've been at investing, right, I've bought every dip, and I recommend it every dip. Apple is not a company that you bet against. It's one of those huge brand, huge ecosystem, huge everything. Right? And you really, really need to have a strong case to bet against it, and I don't see it right now.
I mean, at the end of the day, all you need to look at for Apple is the stock buybacks. Doesn't even matter what they, you know, if iPhone sales miss or services come in below expectations, as long as Tim Cook continues to buy back Apple stock, we'll continue to see Apple hitting all-time highs on an almost daily basis.
And
it's become one of the most defensive stocks in the market. The market is down, you buy Apple. Why? Because Apple is buying back its own stock. So
it's perfect, but it's not even that. I expect Apple to have a stronger quarter than people think it will have. I expect the demand for iPhone 11 to be stronger than people expect. And I expect China sales, which is maybe the most important part of Apple's report. To me, I expect China sales to be stronger than expected. And I expect that to be the driving thing of this earnings report.
Really, for China, for the most part, has been the one sore spot for Apple this year. It's a good point you bring up on the iPhone 11. The Q4 or the upcoming results will only show about
one week
worth of iPhone 11.
Yeah, for sure.
So guidance from the company will be even more crucial. What I'm looking for is perhaps any updates and details regarding Apple Plus or the Apple TV service, which is set to launch on November 1st. So anything that
4 days from now.
Yeah, yeah, just coming up around the corner. So anything, obviously, Apple will perhaps disclose any details regarding that will obviously be of interest.
All right, but Apple really, you know, it's hard to bet against a company like Apple. And I always say, you know, shorting is great, but be careful with what you short. And Apple is one of those companies, it's not trending down for long usually.
I mean, just go look at the Apple stock chart and try, you know, shorting that. Good luck to you.
Exactly. So let's move on to one of the most controversial companies. And we actually have a pair of controversial companies, and we're going to do them one after the other. It's the two advertising giants. It's Facebook and Google. So which one do you want to start with?
Let's kick things off with Facebook.
All right, let's go.
Facebook report earnings also Wednesday after the bell. So Wednesday after the close will be very eventful with both Apple and Facebook both reporting. Listen, from, you know, in terms of, you know, privacy data scandals and the antitrust regulatory concerns, you know, it's hard to find a company which has been plagued with more bad news.
But does the market care?
Being that the stock is up 43% this year,
nobody cares.
No.
Nobody cares.
I mean, at the end of the day, and I don't even think that Facebook's business has even been hurt because the advertisers keep flocking to it. Not only that, ad revenue per user is increasing, daily active monthly users keep rising. So with all this bad news and all the regulatory and all the privacy concerns, I don't know anybody.
Listen, we're expecting a 26% jump in revenue this quarter.
That's
26%. Facebook already has a quarter of the world's population on its platform. A quarter of the world.
You can hate Zuckerberg and you can hate the company all you want.
But oh my God.
That, That is not wise for your pockets. As a in terms of a financial decision, shorting Facebook and hating on this stock is bad for you.
Oh, come to the dark side. The profits are better over here. I tell you that. You know, we have profits and cookies. Come to the dark side.
If even with the potential upcoming fines and news of antitrust cases coming against Facebook, I think that the company just plows through earnings. They'll continue to blow away expectations, and like I said, hate them all you want. Zuckerberg knows what he's doing.
And Apple and Facebook and Google, which we're about to talk about. Those kind of companies, as soon as something mildly bearish happens, a lot of people love to pounce because people love to hate on big tech. But I think that, the fact that people love to hate on big tech actually just creates buying opportunities.
That's a buy the dip on big tech.
So if you can't, keep a cool head and not think about, all the headlines and all the drama in D.C. and all of that, usually the business is solid. And let's move on to Alphabet. But really, Alphabet for me. It dipped under $1,000 at
Alphabet
the end
just
of 2018.
Alphabet epitomizes what you just said regarding big tech. They had the miss in Q1, and it was the end of the world. People were calling for, is this the end of Google's search business, and what's next for Google? And then Q2 came.
They
topped expectations, announced the share buyback program. And, the stock is back up. Exactly. It's like you set other,
flying upwards.
So if shares are up 22% with all the hate, with all the worries that
it owns half
is
the internet and it controls the access to the other half of the internet. How can you not like that? But if we're talking about specific things that we're going to be looking for, right? I'm going to be looking for the cost per click of Google, which is one of the most important metrics. It's how much does it cost one click for Google? How much revenue does Google get from one click? And it's been on a downtrend lately.
Yeah, that was the cost for all this,
I'm still looking at that because while the volume is up, to have a really strong bullish thesis, I'd like to have both the number of clicks up and the revenue per click up.
So for me, it doesn't even matter what the search business does and what the revenue per click is and cost per click is, because a new wild card has emerged for Google, and that very similar to Microsoft and Amazon is the cloud. So basically, during the Q2 conference call in July, Google said cloud computing business is on pace for $8 billion in revenue this year. I just want to see from Google if they disclose any updates regarding that. Any hint that really the slowdown, which we saw in Microsoft and Amazon Cloud, if that business went to Google and Google grabbed that market, then a clear run back to all-time highs.
No stopping Google on the way to 1,500.
Clear run back to all-time highs.
No stopping Google.
Is in place. So really, any update regarding the cloud, Google's cloud business, that will be the next spark.
All right, so I'm looking at the search, and you're looking at the cloud. Oh, yeah, that works. So our next company.
Let's talk about AT&T.
All right, let's do it. So for me, AT&T is one of those companies where the earnings call is more important than the report itself. Because to me, AT&T, in the position that it is today, with all the debt that it has, it's all about believing in management and in believing in the management ability to deleverage the company and to have a turnaround. And they're doing that. They're divesting assets and they're cutting costs. But this is the number one concern for me. So it's not even anything in the report itself as much as it is, what the CEO and CFO and all these folks will be talking about after the report.
On the call itself, really, it's going to be just markets want to hear how AT&T will respond to suggestions from Elliott Management, the activist hedge fund, which took a $3.2 billion stake in AT&T last month, they announced. So, Elliott had been pushing AT&T to kind of increase share buybacks, cut down on debt, Maybe cut down on areas of the company which aren't performing as well.
And they've been doing that.
They've been doing that even before Elliott came. with these suggestions.
100%.
So for the most part, I like AT&T. I've written about them numerous times this year. The stock is up 38% so far this year, one of the best performers on the Dow. And beyond what it says on the earnings call and the financial results, Tuesday AT&T holds Media Day for the Warner Media Day HBO Max service. So again, we see
streaming is becoming huge here.
You don't need to be a pure streaming play like Netflix anymore to grab a piece of the pie. And anything AT&T has to say in regards to that, you know, investors, for the a buzzword right now is streaming. And if a company is connected to it somehow, I like AT&T this week in terms of earnings and the streaming.
Honestly, to sum AT&T up, you know, I like a good turnaround story because it's been trending sideways and even downwards for a while now. And you know what I like more than a turnaround story? A turnaround story that pays me 5.5%.
Hey, the dividend.
As a dividend.
The dividend. Exactly.
To wait until things get sorted out. So the debt, huge issue. Believing in management, believing in a turnaround story, you know, for me, the earnings call will be very important. And let's round up the 10, well, no, really 10 of the biggest stocks. I think we talked about, what, 7 of the 10 biggest market caps in the world in this episode?
We got Apple, we got
Google, we got Facebook, we got Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
That's some big companies.
Easy.
All right, so we're closing up with Starbucks. Which we'll be reporting when exactly?
Wednesday after the bell. Another one on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday's a big day. So for me, if I'm looking at Starbucks as a whole, what I choose to focus on this quarter is China. And the China revenue, which has been very strong over the past two quarters, we've seen increases of 9% in each of the past two quarters in the Asia revenue. This is very solid, and this is despite the fact that Starbucks has Luckin Coffee, which IPO'd not too long ago.
That's right.
As a big, strong competitor in China. So we know how hard it is for Western countries to crack China.
The whole, the coffee culture really is, picking up momentum in Asia, in China specifically. And really, the two major long-term growth markets for Starbucks, like you said, China and the Americas, both appear to be performing very well for Starbucks. We see the core business remains on track, both helped by new product offerings as well as we saw them bring in pumpkin spice latte as late as August.
As early as late August.
Yeah, but you know we can laugh at this all we want. From what we've seen so far from preliminary metrics, it seems as if traffic has increased around across the Starbucks locations. People just love their pumpkin spice latte. What are you going to do?
You know, you make fun of Christmas decorations in October, but then you realize that it sells more. So you can laugh at capitalism, but it gets you to buy stuff.
Hey, it works. At the end of the day, it works.
It's incredible.
If they were to make a pumpkin spice latte, you know, a year-round product, I'm sure that would probably be an even bigger boost to sales. And on top of that, we see that.
And the funniest thing is that the coffee's bad.
You know, like don't tell that to the American
like
crowd.
You want a fancy frappuccino, whatever, pumpkin spice latte, that's great. If you want like a cup of coffee, it's bad.
You know what's interesting?
I can't.
You walk into your average Starbucks and there'll be a bunch of teenagers in there. So that's both good for Starbucks because teens are very loyal in terms of where they spend their money. The Starbucks logo is kind of a status symbol, another very strong brand.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, for the most part, just to be seen walking around with a Starbucks coffee.
Of course, it's like $15 a cup of like frappuccino or something.
And that's why revenue is expected to be up 5% this quarter to about $6.5 billion. So,
see, I don't want to disconnect us from the earnings that we're doing today. But really, if we're talking about a recession. Right, people don't go around with $15 frappuccinos in a recession. Not
that
when they're fearing a recession. Starbucks is a very good indicator of the confidence of the American consumer, and I think that it's still very, very high. But we're done with earnings, and we're gonna keep with earnings just a bit.
Staying on the earnings theme,
we decided to do stock of the week this week as well, where we wanted to highlight maybe smaller companies with interesting stories.
Exactly.
Because obviously we had to focus on the Apples and the Facebooks when they're reporting. So who do you got?
My stock of the week is a mid-cap name, Shopify, ticker symbol SHOP, S-H-O-P. You know, at one point, shares of this Canadian e-commerce company were up by as much as 200% as of late August. However, in September, we saw the software sector kind of pull back.
Everything got hammered.
Yeah, yeah. The software. So Shopify was no exception.
It wasn't even just Spotify. It was literally everyone.
Software as a space. You know, the software as in software
service.
As a a service space just kind of took it on the chin.
Say that five times.
You know, it's funny. I'm actually going to write a piece on these names for the week ahead. Hopefully, that gets published tomorrow. During the day, sometime we'll focus on Shopify, on Twilio, and perhaps Arista Networks. So even with the recent pullback, Shopify is still up 130%. It reports earnings before the market opens on Tuesday, and you know EPS is expected to jump 175%. Revenue is expected to jump 49%. You know, I keep highlighting
still
a lot of these
good.
High growth.
Still
you
looking
know,
good. So do you think it got ahead of itself before the September rotation, or do you think that it was a mistake and there's a huge dip to buy?
No, I think in my opinion, huge dip to buy. We'll probably go and revisit the $400 all-time high probably towards the end of the year. There was just no reason for that sell-off. There was no reason. Like you say, it was like Mr. Market woke up that morning and figured, oh, you know, high growth momentum stocks
like
are
that.
Overvalued.
I don't like that anymore.
Let's move out of that.
Bye-bye.
But like breaking it down, I still like Shopify. The numbers are there. Growth is still there. Shopify Plus remains a huge driver. Shopify payments remains a huge driver. And I'm expecting a nice report from them coming on Tuesday.
All right, so I'll take Kraft Heinz, and the reason I'm doing that is double. First of all, Warren Buffett was a major part of the merger between Kraft and Heinz, and it has been working terribly for him. So that's always a reason to look
so
at
Uncle
a stock
Warren,
to me.
You know, kind of missing with some of his investments
it's,
lately.
It's an absolute mess right now, right? And it's probably Buffett's worst move in the past decade, and that says a lot.
Yeah.
So when it reports, it's kind of worth, you know, taking a look at what happened. So they cut costs to the point of not even having the same company. If you look at people complaining online about the ketchup, they're saying it doesn't taste even the same anymore because they used to have their tomatoes from Canada and they switched the tomato producer, and that ended up impacting, you know, the product itself, because they wanted to cut costs. So they went so deep in cutting costs that they altered the company. They changed it fundamentally.
So basically, they at the cost of quality.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 100%. And now they have a new CEO. And that's why I'm looking at it, because it has the element of Warren Buffett in it. It has the element of a depressed share price. It's trading at $28, used to be at almost 100.
Yeah, yeah. Really
and it has a new CEO that is trying to come and turn things around. And we talked about how I love a good turnaround story. And I think that if the CEO manages to get a good turnaround in Kraft Heinz, this could be the start of the turnaround of the decade.
Wow. Big call from my man CT here.
This could be the turnaround of the 2020s. You know, it's down so much. And to me, it still has potential. It still has a lot of things working for it, but they need to get their stuff together. It's either the turnaround story of the decade or Kraft Heinz won't live to see 2030. It's that or that. It's either going to zero to being private again and off the radar, or it'll be a great success. There's no in-between for Kraft Heinz to me in the next decade. It's a make-it-or-break-it decade.
Well, I don't think Uncle Warren will care too much about if his Kraft Heinz investment goes to zero. But there are other small-time investors who, you know, better take – especially as this big week of earnings comes, you know, don't hold positions going into earnings.
Unless you're in it for the long term, don't buy something for the
earnings.
You know,
obviously,
that's the advice.
No lotto plays. try not to make any, you know,
predictions. Invest. Don't react. Don't gamble.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we try to stress here on the Bell Ringers, unless there's a nice day trading opportunity.
And then it's something else. But you got to know what, you got to know what you're doing. And if you're in it for the long term, don't get spooked by one bad quarter. And if you want to trade and gamble, you know, then, yeah, you want to use the stock market, use it. But be aware that you're gambling if you're gambling.
Exactly how we saw with Amazon's post-earnings price action. Yeah. You know, stick to your guns. Be true to your intuitions. If you think Amazon had a good quarter, don't be freaked out by the 8% initial drop. Because like we saw how the stock ended the following day, only down 1%. There was really a lot to like in there.
Yeah. All right. So that wraps it up for this season, earnings season special. We're going to have another one next week before my man here, Jesse, takes off.
Flying to USA.
So for vacation time and some family time. So we're going to be back at the end of November after next week's episode. That wraps it up. Have a good earnings season. It's been really a juicy one so far. And I'm really looking forward to see what next week brings.
May the trading gods be with you.
All right, goodbye, everybody.